Welcome to today's Middle Level Educator, a podcast from National Middle School Association. Today's episode is the second part of a two-part conversation between Kate Garrison and Mary Hinton on formative assessment. Kate is Manager of Products and Services for Professional Development at Measured Progress. In today's interview, Kate talks about the culture of formative assessment.
Hello, this is Mary Hinton, and I'm pleased to speak today with Kate Garrison from Measured Progress. Kate is the Manager of Products and Services for Professional Development with Measured Progress, where she focuses on enhancing business opportunities with clients and the partnership organizations. We talked with Kate a little bit ago about formative assessment, and she not only brings her experience and expertise as a member of Measured Progress staff, but also as an educator with 21 years of experience at the high school and middle school level in language arts and sheltered instruction for English language learners. Kate's also a National Language Arts Consultant, and she has written for National Middle School Association publications, our Middle Ground, and also for a web exclusive series. And it's a delight to have Kate back with us today and continue on a two-part conversation around formative assessment. Welcome, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mary. It's great to be back talking with you. I always enjoy my conversations with my friends at National Middle School Association.
Well, our last conversation, you were debunking some of the myths about formative assessment and helping to get some clarification about what formative assessment is, and so we have some common understanding here. And as we concluded the last conversation, you spent some time talking about formative assessment as a culture. It's not techniques, strategies, it's not tools, it's not products, but it's about culture. And so I'd like today to really focus on that aspect of formative assessment in terms of it being culture. And so to begin, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that's a great way to begin our conversation, because we did end on a note of discussing it as culture. And, you know, what do we really mean by that? So let's explore that.
Well, okay. Tell us what you mean by that. What do you mean by a culture of formative assessment? What's that look like?
Well, I think if we frame this in terms of classroom for our middle school educators, in a middle school classroom, there's quite a bit of conversation around teaming. There's conversation around student-centered. There's conversation around differentiated, non-tracked systems, taking a look at students in heterogeneous groupings, looking at blocks of time to work with students. There are many things that we see that are recommended for middle school classrooms, and all of those really take a culture to make work. The same is with formative assessment. So if you have your middle school program and these other things are being put into place, formative assessment is definitely a natural fit, because formative assessment is about the culture of learning. It's about putting students in the center, helping them to metacognitively reflect on their learning and set goals so they do become engaged. They do find relevancy and purpose in their learning, and they are being set up for success not only within the current grade level that they're functioning, but for future work, not only in K-12 education, but higher ed or the world of work and lifelong learning. So going back to identifying that culture, it's formative assessment then is, as we said in the previous podcast, about helping students understand a vision of learning, a vision of where they're going through setting and establishing goals, targets, and criteria. This is where we are headed in the learning. This is the purpose of our learning, and helping students understand that. And part of that culture then is establishing that prior to any instructional flow that's going to happen. And throughout that instructional flow, the teacher really becomes that facilitator of learning, determining what are the best roadmaps for students to attain those targets, and providing that ongoing descriptive feedback along the way, that we are not so worried about grades at this point. We're concerned about what the students do understand, where the misconceptions lie, and that they are being attacked in real time and corrected during the learning process. So that takes culture. It's helping students understand that in this classroom, this is how we work. We are a learning community. We have a clear understanding of where we're going. We're going to make a determination about where we are and the best ways to get there to engage students in that. And that takes a cultural shift in most classrooms, because most classrooms, as much as we want students to be at the center, are still very much driven by the teacher in almost a rote fashion. And I can certainly, you know, come to the confessional, so to speak, and say that when I was teaching in my early career, my goal was to create my units of study that I would then repeat year after year after year after year. And what I did not take into consideration at that point was, do these work? What are the students learning? How do I know they're learning that? What information and quality of information am I gathering during the learning process? And I can tell you I wasn't. I was basing all my information on student learning at the end of unit test, and that's what went in the grade book. And that's what I made my determination as to what kids knew and did not know about the content. So in a formative assessment classroom, that isn't what happens. It's that constant flow of information that students and teachers use to determine next steps in learning.
I would be joining you in that confessional. I'm guilty of the same things when I think back and I cringe at some of the things that I did and think, oh, I want to apologize to all those students.
Maybe we can go find them.
Yes. And the other thing that I did was to go into the unit without any consideration of what do these students bring to the table.
Yes. Or even in the world of standards-based education now, what were the big ideas and the standards that I truly wanted the students to come away with? Or was it just a big chunk of content?
Well, as we talk about culture then, and thinking about the culture change within a classroom, sounds as if we've got to be addressing a culture change within the entire school. And if that's the case, then what does a principal or the administration do to support so that it's not just isolated classrooms where this is happening, but as a whole school or whole system, we're doing this differently?
Yes, and that, you know, it's extremely important to look at it that way. We all know, and I think any of us at certain points in our educational careers have been very moved by something we learned and took the initiative to make that change in our classrooms in isolation. But when we're talking about a shift in culture for formative assessment, there really needs to be a look at this school-wide and hopefully district-wide, because it is such a cultural shift and a different way of thinking about student information gathering and student assessment and its place in a whole district or school comprehensive assessment program. And if we're going to change culture and we're going to move forward professionally, then we need to be thinking about what is established infrastructurally by administration to support that. National Middle School Association has advocated for strong teaming, and teaming is a wonderful place to start when venturing down the road of implementing formative assessment practice, because now you have a group of educators that is used to working together and committed to working together and has a rapport and understands each other. So infrastructurally, administrators want to make sure that there is time built into the school day where teachers have the opportunity to discuss best practices and to take those steps down the path of formative assessment implementation and cultural shift in their classrooms, to read about it, reflect on their own practice, take some baby steps, try it out, come back and talk about it. And that's just good professional development, and that's good adult learning modules. So that's how we want to move forward with this. And administrators and principals need to understand that you cannot just walk in, provide a two-day workshop on something, and then expect teachers to implement any change in their classroom without ongoing support and a collegial front or forum where they can discuss what they're learning and how they're implementing. So that support process and that infrastructure has to be in place for any type of a change. It has to be the conduit for change, whether it's formative assessment or another initiative. But certainly for formative assessment, because it is so tied to instructional practice, and change is difficult. Change can be painful. You've been doing something for 20 or more years one way. To change that habit, as any practice becomes, is going to take support. So it's not something that administrators or principals can expect to see, as we said in the earlier podcast, in their walkthroughs and their observational checklists immediately, that they need to become part of that culture as well and to fully understand and talk with their teachers about what they're trying, what they're doing, and what this is revealing about student learning.
Well, it sounds like one of the habits that would have to be examined and altered are habits around homework, grades, expectations around those types of tests and summative, that summative assessment. So where do homework, grades, where do those kinds of things fit into this culture of formative assessment?
That's a whole can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah.
homework and grading. Grading always kind of makes the hair on the back of people's necks stand on end. Those policies are in some places so stringent, but it is imperative to investigate homework and grading policies if you are moving into the culture and process of formative assessment. Because as we stated earlier, that through this process, teachers are providing students and students eventually to each other feedback about their learning. And feedback, descriptive feedback, is not a mark on a paper. It's not a grade. Feedback is specific to the criteria that was set for that learning goal. And we have to be very careful and purposeful in the type of feedback we're providing students to help them understand what we saw in their learning that was towards that target and areas that need to be improved in suggestions, not telling them what to do, but some suggestions about what to do next time and then opportunity to try that. So it's really, to think about it as providing non-punitive or ungraded practice first before we summatively assess. So oftentimes in our classrooms, we're very point and grade driven. And I know I was certainly at one point understanding of a comment I hear frequently now, they won't do it if I don't give them points. But that's a monster we've created. We've created that monster in our kids, that the older they get, the more dependent they are on the extrinsic idea that points are the value of the learning and the grade is the value of the learning as opposed to the learning in and of itself. So if we think about the work during the learning process and the activities and assignments and homework that we're giving our students as ungraded practice to move them forward, that's a cultural shift not only for teachers but for some students as well by the time they hit middle school, because they've been inundated with a different type of system. So we really want to rethink, number one, what is the purpose of the homework we're providing? Are we grading homework? How can homework be a grade? And here's one question where we're not really sure who did the work. Was that copied by off another student on the bus ride to school that day, and then the student's grade depends on that? What did the student really learn? So the deeper you get into thinking about formative assessment, the clearer your understanding will become of what do I really grade and when, and how often do I provide ungraded practice, opportunities for students to try and learn. Coaches do it all the time. We're going to practice this skill. We're going to tomorrow practice this. I'm going to give you feedback on what I see in your performance. And then the day of the game is the accountability. Or in a classroom, the day of the summative assessment is the accountability that goes into the grade book and is averaged for a report card. So we really want to pull back on our grading and homework and think about what we're doing for students and really why, and then debunk those myths. And there is a lot that has been written on that recently.
What's been coming to mind as you've been talking is the whole notion of the sociology of the classroom and sociology of education. And my mind was going back to some of the work of Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot and culture and how our personal culture as teachers influences our work, how the culture of certainly the kids, families, their parents, you know, comes into that. So when I think about as a teacher, if I've grown up, my educational experience was based on the summative assessment. You know, I had the paper that was graded, you know, I did the tests, and, you know, my grades depend on the test. If I'm going to try and teach differently, do I have to pay attention to how I handle and facilitate a different culture in the classroom that I am now facilitating? But I have to go back and unpack a lot, my own personal experiences and what that whole sociological framework has been.
Absolutely. And I think you can talk to any educator, especially at the administrative or district level, that when you begin to investigate changing grading policy or report cards, even just the visual aspect of what goes on a report card, you know, talk about people running the stockade with pitchforks and torches, because not only is that the system we as educators grew up with, that's what the parents grew up with. And that's what the parents are used to seeing. And if we are looking at truly measuring all students towards the same targets of standards, then we have to be investigating how we're sharing that information. Where are students on their path to mastery of those standards? And traditional A, B, C, D, whatever grades do not really help us with that. And mixed in oftentimes with those grades happens to be behavioral pieces, you know, on timeliness, on task. Are they responsible citizens in the classroom? Well, those are wonderful things, and students need to be learning time management and those type of life skills, but they're not part of academics and should really be reported separately. I mean, Ken O'Connor's done quite a bit of work and research and sharing of information about grading practices in this country and the pitfalls and some suggestions to correct those. But it truly is a whole cultural shift or paradigm shift for parents and the community members to think about as well. They're seeing this level of accountability that has come down from a national level, but there is incongruency as to what that accountability means when we take a look at our own in-house grading practices. So we really have to have some deep discussions about that. And it's at the policy level, and it can sometimes get rough. But I think the best thing is information, that when teachers move into formative assessment in the classroom, that they should be providing parents with user-friendly targets and goals, that for this quarter in these classes, these are the intended learning outcomes for the students. This is the type of work that you can expect to see. I will be providing ungraded practice and descriptive feedback to your students to help them with their learning. There will still be summative assessments. There will still be grades on the report card, but there will be a different type of information that comes out about your student and his or her learning in those interim times. It's not going to be, you know, letter grades all the time. It's going to be more anecdotal information, which I think eventually most parents appreciate because it's more in-depth. They truly have an idea that this is where we're headed, and here is where my son or daughter happens to be in that, and this is where they're going. And I think, as with all change, every stakeholder needs to be at that table and have that same understanding. Otherwise, you're just pushing against the storm.
So if we want to make sure that parents, adult caregivers understand this culture in our classroom, in our school, it's all about communication, communication, communication with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that any administrator and whether site-based or district level, will understand that, because any type of change. I mean, I can remember sitting at a school board meeting as a middle school teacher petitioning to move to block scheduling in our middle school, and what that meant 15, 20 years ago as an uphill climb to help board members even understand what that meant and why. You know, why would we do that? It's going to take more teachers. That's more allocation. So we have to really help people understand. And it isn't that they don't want to understand, but we have to be responsible to them to help them understand, help them come to the table, and recognize that we have the students in our thoughts and their learning as our best interest.
Takes me back again once to the classroom, or if formative assessment is having that communication and that ownership and that shared process, we're just extending that out to the parents and to the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for your time today and for this conversation. I appreciate the opportunity, your insight, and hope that this conversation is helpful to our listeners as well.
Well, I really, really enjoyed our conversation, and I always appreciate the work that National Middle School does in bringing best practice to its members and other educators. So I look forward to our continuing friendship and relationship.
Great. Well, thanks so much, and goodbye, Kate.
Thank you. Bye, Mary.
For further reading on this topic, please check out the web-exclusive article, Formative and Summative Assessment in the Classroom, at www.nmsa.org. Thank you for joining us on today's Middle Level Educator.